Michael Hellenius with the shot. Rebound in front. Oh, what a save by Omar. He kicked the left pad out on a great chance in the slot. That was Yops with the chance, I believe, as the Sabres make a change.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Linus Allmark very busy in the first. Buffalo all over him in that first when they had 24 shots. That one is the save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For the great deals on all the entire Honda lineup has to offer, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 3-2 Buffalo victorious. They win it in overtime. Noah Ostlund's goal at 2:01 is the game winner on a nice backhand. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take in just one moment, but let's get in some final stats. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third, 7-6 Buffalo in the overtime. Just one shot, it went in. That gave the Sabres 41 for the game to just 16 for Ottawa. So dominating effort in the statistical category there. The Sabres, though, did struggle on the power play. They went 0 of 6. They had 11.5 minutes of ice time with the man advantage. Couldn't score. Ottawa went 1 of 2 on their opportunities. In goal for Buffalo, Felix Sandstrom, 16 shots, 14 saves. And for the Senators, split time between Allmark and Tokarski. Tokarski wearing his Sabre helmet and pads. Allmark, as I said, a very busy first half. He made 28 saves. Tokarski, 10. In front of 13,000 plus in Ottawa. All right, 3-2 Buffalo wins it, and they go to 4-0 in the preseason. Paul Hamilton now to break this down. Paul, how about the Sabres comeback here? Down 2-1 late. They've obviously had a ton of shots and a ton of pressure and probably would have been disappointed to walk out of here with only one goal. Instead, they tie it late and then win it in OT.
Yeah, I mean, in preseason, I suppose it really doesn't matter if you win or lose, but you want to win a hockey game if you can. It's more, you know, what kind of impression did you make on the coaching staff and the brass? You know, how well did you play, which was very good, but here they were. I mean, they outshot the Senators 24-5 in the first period. Ottawa went 19 minutes and 36 seconds without a shot. Their last shot in the first period was Gregor, who scored at 7:56. And they went into the second period, and I was keeping the time because I was going to tweet out that they've gone a full period, 20 minutes, without a shot, and they got one. Just 14 seconds short of going a full period without a shot. I'm sorry, 24 seconds short of going a full period without a shot. So they dominated, and then here's Buffalo with a minute left in the game down a goal. But it also gave them a chance to go to work and score a couple of really nice goals. I mean, as you know, I haven't really been impressed with Isak Rosén until today. I thought he was very good today. I would have no argument if somebody wanted to name him the first star of the game. Allmark would be right in there, too. In 30 minutes, he made 28 saves on 29 shots. Maybe Rosén would be the second star of the game. Yeah, he was much better, but with the shot that he has, we always talk about Thompson's shot or Kulik's shot or Quinn's shot. Rosén can rip it. I mean, as good as any of those guys. Well, maybe Thompson is the best of that group, but any of the rest of those guys. And you let him sit in the far side circle like that. And Komarov, who was, as you know, the best defenseman in the Quebec League last year and had good offensive numbers, he put it right in the wheelhouse. I mean, he couldn't have walked over and set it up any better on a tee for him. And Rosén just ripped it and tied the game. So that was a beautiful goal. And then no denying Ostlund, for whatever reason, maybe the official score has to get home. He didn't give assists on the goal. I went back and looked at it. It was very, very obvious.
Metsa and Nuchev have it as of this moment, Paul, on the score sheet.
Okay,
they just updated
it.
Yes.
I guess I needed to refresh here. But yeah, because, you know, I went back and looked at it. It was very obvious, you know, the assist, but that was all Ostlund. What a move. I mean, to get the puck like that, protect the puck like that, not only from the Senators, but from the goaltender, Tokarski, who I think maybe thought he had a poke check but didn't. And to score a goal like that, folks, if you haven't seen it, I have it on my Twitter. It's up online, and it'll be in my article. It doesn't get any better than that. Just a gorgeous goal by Ostlund, and that's the game winner. So despite being behind in a game that they had no business being behind in, it was basically goaltending that was the reason they were behind. They came out and got the victory, and now here they are 4-0, and the of little faith, as I raised my hand. Because what did I say before the big team left, after that second game where they had dominated two games because it was the real Buffalo Sabres against the minor league teams? And I said, well, it's going to flip around because now the Sabres are going to have four preseason games with the Rochester Americans. Now, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Ottawa Senators didn't show up with the big club either, which helped. But the Buffalo Sabres are 2-0 in preseason, and now the Rochester Americans, playing other NHL teams, are 2-0 in the preseason, and they're 4-0 overall.
And now the pressure goes back on the NHL group, Paul. They play in Munich tomorrow. That game will be at 2:30 for all of you listening in the Buffalo area. That'll be on the Bet 1520. And then this Amerks group gets another chance to play Saturday night in Columbus at 7. And then they'll close out the preseason Monday at home at KeyBank Center against Detroit. So that's the rest of the preseason schedule. Paul Östlund, we saw in the prospects tournament, I know one thing that you and I were talking about while we were calling that game was how he was very good at winning one-on-one battles. It seemed as though anytime there was like a loose puck, he seemed to come away with it. And, not beyond that, too, some playmaking ability. And now you throw this, what looks like to be a, outstanding play to score, where he's going not only around a player, but dragging the puck through the crease, avoids the poke check, and scores, knowing, hey, I might get a fist in the face on the way here. So we're seeing, multiple layers of Östlund's game that's been impressive here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, when the draft came along this year, we, of course, and Kevin Adams was trying to trade the pick, but the trade that he wanted never materialized, so he made the pick. My first thought was, okay, they got Hellenius. He's just like Östlund. So Östlund's probably the guy that's going to be up for trade. And, they'll probably trade him, once they get around to the trade or whatever. And it wound up being Savoy. The reason I said that is I felt Hellenius and Östlund are almost the same player. Nothing I've seen in the prospects tournament or in training camp has taken me away from that. But that, I'm saying that in a good way. That's not a bad thing. I'm saying that as a positive, that they both are going to be what I think they're going to be, are players that can play at both ends of the rink. Now, Hellenius is trying to get used to North American hockey and pro hockey. He had a dandy turnover in three-on-three overtime, and Ottawa had kept the puck for about 2.5 minutes, but they couldn't generate anything to get it past Sandstrom, so it didn't cost them. And I thought to myself, Buffalo's not going to see the puck again because of that giveaway. And, he had another turnover earlier, but then you see the good plays that he has, a post and – makes a good play and a good pass to help on the power play more than once, a couple of times. So you can see how smart he is. You can see he's more advanced than most 18-year-olds. I think it's just, number one, the ice surface. He's got to get used to it. He's played in over in Europe and Finland, so he's got to get used to the smaller ice. Everything's going to come on him quicker now. So that's going to cause turnovers. But I think he's going to be fine. But I think Buffalo has two very good players that are going to, maybe not this year, but soon, fight their way into the lineup. And, that's when you say, all right, you got all this depth, and you say, well, there's not enough room for all these guys. Well, you might get in a contract spot. Henry Jokiharju, it's a different position, but I'm using as an example. He only has a one-year contract. He had his best year last year, played very well, showed that he can play in the top four. But he only got a one-year contract, showing that maybe he's, all right, he's a former number one pick that you traded for, but maybe you're going to move on to the next guy because you can't pay everybody. They couldn't pay Mittelstadt. They didn't want to trade Mittelstadt. But you wind up getting a defenseman like Byram who you can put in your top four, which is very difficult to get. You got to give up something to get something. It didn't look like they were going to pay Mittelstadt because, again, they can't pay everybody. So, that's how maybe room would be made for an Östlund or a Hellenius, not this year, but moving forward, that maybe somebody who, all right, well, we've paid enough guys, we don't know if we can pay this guy. That's how you keep reloading. And if you draft well enough and draft great talent, you can reload that way.
3-2, Sabres win it in overtime. Roseanne scoring with under a minute to play in OT to tie to 2, and Oslin scoring 2-1 into the OT to win it. The Sabres are now 4-0. The European group that's over there practicing in Germany going to play Munich tomorrow at 2:30. Again, that's on the Bet 1520 in Buffalo. And then this group, made up of essentially the Amerks, they will be playing in Columbus Saturday night at 7. Paul, before we let you go, news of the day, captains and alternate captains were announced. Let's start with the one that will wear the C, Rasmus Dahlin. And I know you said that when he was asked about if he wanted to be captain, if he was asked to do it, that he was ready to take on that job. So here it is. He gets a chance to be the captain now.
Yeah, I was at locker cleanout. I said, if you're asked to be captain, do you think you're ready to do it? And would you want to do it? He goes, absolutely, I would do it. You know, so, but, you know, when you ask him a couple of days ago when he spoke, he just said, I'm not thinking about being captain. We have a bunch of guys that can do it. And where have we seen this movie before? Lindy Ruff. What did he do when Jason Pominville was captain? Remember, they had the dinner there, and he gave Thomas, that time they gave the A's out first, and they gave Thomas Vanek the jersey, and Thomas Vanek looked like somebody just shot him, because he was extremely disappointed he wasn't captain. And then they handed the captain's jersey to Pominville. This time, they had dinner last night in Germany, and they did Rasmus Dahlin first, and then did the four A's after that. So very deserving. As you know, you and I have talked about for a couple of years now. Remember when a couple of years ago I said, I think Granato, he's going to make Dahlin captain. I don't know if that's a good deal. I would rather have Cousins captain. And then Dahlin won me over in the last 2 years. You know, and by last year when we were having the conversation, I was saying, yeah, you know what? I think he would be a good captain. I think maybe he is the choice. And if they would have chosen Cousins, I think he would have been a good choice too. But just the way Dahlin, you know, you see him in practice. We talk about it all the time where if he's not happy that somebody's not doing a drill right, or, you know, he just gets right in line and shows him what needs to be done in a very forceful way. And just seeing him in the locker room when we're in there, you know, he's more comfortable. He's not afraid to kid around. And from what players have said, he's not afraid to get in somebody's face either if that's what's needed, with the players knowing that he's only doing it to make the team better, not because he dislikes somebody or doesn't want to be friends with them anymore or anything like that. And that was a leadership move this summer when he invited a bunch of guys to go to Switzerland. And, yeah, they went to have fun, but they also worked out. They were on the ice together. Similar to when, you know, Josh Allen has done this many times since he's been here. This past offseason, he took some guys, I don't want to say all receivers because I don't know for sure. I think it was mostly receivers, to Nashville. And they worked out hard, but they also went to dinner every night. If you're in Nashville, I can guarantee you they had some fun every night. You know, but, you know, it was just to get together to, first of all, work, and second of all, to you know, bond a little bit. And Dahlin, as a leader, did that in Switzerland with a bunch of the guys. So that spells leader to me right there, that he felt, you know, I want to do this with the guys. I want to get together with them. I want to work out with them. I want to go water skiing with them. I want to do this or that. And, you know, it just, he's grown into a leader. And as I said, by last year, he had won me over. And I thought, you know what, that is a good choice.
Yep. And then just quickly, Paul, the four alternates are, I know you mentioned some of these names, Tuck, Cousins, Thompson, Samuelson. Any surprises there, or anybody you feel like you want to say something about?
Yeah, Samuelson was a surprise there, but the other three I think are born leaders. And then you might say, well, who else? And I don't know, maybe I think the thought process is, this is their team now. These are the guys at the long-term contracts. I don't think it's right to call them young players anymore. You know, I think they're past the young player point. They've been in the NHL. And Samuelson would fall into that category. If it's not Samuelson, maybe it would be Quinn. But if you were just saying a leader, Zucker would have been somebody maybe you could have put an A on. Lafferty is somebody maybe you could put an A on. That's more of the line of what I was thinking. As I said, I just didn't think Samuelson fell into the same category as those other guys. But, again, I'm not in the room. I don't know exactly what kind of leader he is. But I probably would have gone maybe with Zucker. But I think I see what Lindy Ruff is thinking there, is this is their team now. These are the guys who they've committed to as the core of the team, and Samuelson is part of that.
All right, Paul, tomorrow the Sabres, it's weird to say back in action because, well, this group didn't play, but officially the Buffalo Sabres are back in action. 2:30 Eastern time in Munich against Red Bull München. It's part of the Global Series Challenge in Germany that's happening. It's a preseason game, and then, of course, we know the Global Series will continue next week with regular season games with the Sabres and the Devils. And that game we'll have on the Bet 1520 in Buffalo, and I believe NHL Network. So if you want to watch that, that is where that'll be.
MSG might have it, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I think it's going to be on the NHL Network and MSG. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that is correct.
All right, good to know. Just a quick thought on that, Paul, is that group gets back on the ice now for a game. They obviously haven't played since, what, Monday, right? Yeah, the Monday.
Yeah, for us, it's a 2:30 start. For them, it's an 8:30 start. It's kind of late game. You know, even when you play in the West Coast, for us, it's 10 o'clock, but for them, it's 7 o'clock because it's 7 o'clock in Los Angeles. But for in Germany, it's going to be 8:30 at night when that game starts. So, it'll be a little bit different for them. They've had some time now to get over there, and you hope maybe get used to the time and that type of thing. So we'll see how that goes. Lindy Ruff is more worried about coming home, and they do have some time because they'll come home. They play Friday and Saturday, then they come home. They don't have a game till Thursday, and it's home. So it'll give them a chance to get home. If you remember, I couldn't believe it. I felt bad for Ottawa, and there was I don't remember the other team. They were overseas to play this game, and they had to play, like, right away when they came home. I go, that's not right. You know, you send them over there, and then you bring them home, and they got to play right away. I think one of them may have played in Buffalo. Detroit, was it? That may have played in Buffalo.
Been, yeah.
And they were just dead.
I think doing this global series to start the season is the time to do it. I just, remember thinking back on the Stockholm series when they played Tampa. That was like mid-November. You know, you're already, a dozen to 15 games in at that point. And then you've already kind of had road trips and travel and some wear and tear on your body. And then you do this, and then you've got to come right back and start going again. I think at least doing it here, what can be taxing about the trip, both physically and mentally and all that sort of stuff, Paul, when you're fresher here, getting it done before you even started, I feel like maybe this is the best time to do it.
Yeah, it's the best time to do it. I just think they're doing it right now. They're letting the teams come home and get used to being back in this time zone again. I just didn't think that was right the last time when they made those teams play right away. That to me, you're ruining their season. I mean, give him a break here. Let him, you got Sunday through Thursday. Let him get used to being home again, then let's start playing again.
Yeah. So tomorrow, 2:30, again in Buffalo, it'll be on the Bet 1520. Join us for the Steve Foley Law pregame show tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I'll be with you then. We're going to be hearing from Tage Thompson and Ryan McLeod. Paul, that's obviously one of the new acquisitions in the trade with Edmonton. So looking forward to those conversations with Tage and with McLeod.
Sounds good. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Paul, thanks. We'll talk during intermissions and on the postgame. So Paul will be with us throughout the day tomorrow as well. Okay, Paul, thanks. Have a good night.
Yep, take care.
Okay, great. 3-2 Sabres victorious over Ottawa. We're going to finish with our scoreboard check from around the league. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. A couple of other games tonight in the NHL, if you're into those for the preseason. Toronto beating Montreal 2-1. Philadelphia shutting out the Islanders 2-0. The Rangers beat the Bruins 5-2. And at 10 o'clock, San Jose will take on Anaheim. Thursday night football from New Jersey. They've just started the third quarter there. Don't forget that's Amazon if you're looking for that. Cowboys a 14-9 lead on the Giants. Dak Prescott, a couple of touchdown passes, including one for 55 yards to CeeDee Lamb. The Giants with three field goals in this game. So that game, again, early third quarter, Amazon, if you want it. All right. That'll put a wrap here on our post game. 3-2 the final. Noah Osland getting it done. 2-0-1 into the OT to win it for Buffalo. They go to 4-0 in the preseason. Will it be 5-0? We'll find out tomorrow. Again, if you're listening in Buffalo, it'll be on the Bet 1520. We'll have pregame at 2, face-off just after 2:30. Dan and Rob on the call. That'll put a wrap on our postgame. I want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our great network producer, Tom Matty, our engineer, Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Thanks to Pat Malacaro, who is in Toronto tonight as well with his thoughts during the intermissions. And for Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Colziel. Again, the final at OT. Sabres 3, Senators 2. We'll talk tomorrow for the Steve Foley Law pregame at 2 on the Bet 1520 with the Sabres. And yes, the Red Bull Munchen team from Munich, Germany, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.